I'm so glad to be here with you all. This is really our second home. We being on the island, it really has become home for my family and I. And it's so interesting how you just sort of life, you adjust and you just make home wherever you are. And I think more and more about how the Apostle Paul said, I've learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. And the reality of missions is that as you travel, as you go to different places, even on furlough, you keep that mindset. Everywhere you go, you can be happy. You don't have to be in your own place. And it's an interesting thing. Missions is filled with all kinds of experiences like that. But one thing I wanted to say this morning is, you know, as you think about this family going to Italy, and you think about missions, and you think about the church in general, the church is God's idea. It's not something that man just came up with. It's God's idea, and it is His. And He made everything that we have in this place available to us. And I think the more we can keep that straight in our mind, the more we come down where God wants us to in our lives. And, 35 years, God has shown His faithfulness and His mercy to this community, to this group, body of believers here. And as you think about that, way back, 35 years ago, this church started by a group of people who were committed to really, number one, to God, and they had a passion to see a church started that was truly based on the scriptures and anchored to the scriptures, that where everything they did wouldn't be following just hobby horses or tangents or little personal missions, but to truly say, here's God's word, we want to follow it with all of our heart. And way back, that was the commitment. These people came together and they said, we're not here to talk about politics. We're not here to talk about anything else but God and His word. And we want His word to be our guide. And I'm so thankful for those men and women that God used back then to risk everything and to basically work unbelievable hours to see the church formed. And the church is the people. And so, but by God's grace, the church has been sustained for 35 years, and there have been a lot of challenges, there's been struggles, but the awesome thing is that as God continues to guide, this is His, and so He's the one who makes this church continue to flourish. And this morning, I just wanted to take some time and look at how we can gain courage from the past. And our text is kind of a risky one. It's Joshua 1:9. Risky because you're so familiar with it, I'm sure. But I think there's some fresh things that you and I can hold on to this morning that'll help us. Jamie and I had the privilege of coming to Brookside in 1997. And we were here really on staff until 2004. And the Lord led us into missions. And we flew overseas, and God was leading in our lives to go to this little place called Palau. It's near, many of you know of it because of Heather and Reed going recently, but it's an island just about 800 miles south of Guam, and a church has started there where God is actively working and changing lives. And the thing that I wanted to kind of start off with by introduction is that so much of life is just full of change. Have you noticed that? I mean, if you stop and think about it, almost every day there's something that changes. And it's not comfortable. Whenever we are faced with change, there's a big temptation to take your eyes off of God and begin to stare and focus on what changed. And many times it can pull us off course. In fact, there's really several ways that just jump out at me when I was thinking through this. Sometimes people, when change comes, they say, if only I could you know, we could hold on to what once was. As families, as your children grow up, you kind of look at each other, your husband and wife look at each other and they say, oh, children are growing up so fast. But the truth be known, I mean, if I could rewind to the year 2000, my family looks a whole lot different than they do now. In fact, my girls, Ashley's taller than me. I have to look up at her when I scold her. Thankfully, I don't have to scold her much now. But honestly, change happens. And change isn't bad. Sometimes it is. But when change happens, how do you handle it? And I've even thought this, and maybe some of you have said this that have been here for a while back. How many of you were here in the little old blue church building? There's a small smattering of us here. But sometimes maybe you've even said or you've heard someone say, if only we could go back to the little blue church. Okay, the little blue church was great, but you're forgetting about some major frustrations. You're forgetting about three services that we had to have and offices across the street, and when it's snowing or raining, the teens have to trek through the mud to get over to have their youth at Dr. Blau's chiropractic office. You're forgetting all those details and how the offices were in this other building, and you're just forgetting. And so we get really nostalgic and we try to hold on to the old, and we forget. And the problem is that when we dwell on that, it shuts God out of what he's doing now. He wants to, his mercies are new every day. And when you hold on to the past in that way, you're literally stiff-arming God from providing those fresh mercies and the unbelievable things that he's bringing, he wants to do in your life. It's just like the children of Israel. Remember they said, oh, if only we could go back and have the leeks and garlic. And they're forgetting what Egypt was. The slave masters and the hours of just work where they were being driven and had zero freedom. Yet they wanted the old. And the truth is that sometimes when change comes in our life, we panic. And that's really the next thing. We start, all we can do is we can't, you know, we think about it. We lay in bed and we roll about around and we think about this thing that's going on in our lives and how different things are. And what happens then is that people that are close to us wind up feeling it the most. They're the ones who we hurt the most. When we get our focus off of God and we're focused on how we think things should be, we start to actually hurt those around us. And we come to God's word and we wonder why when we read it, it seems so distant. We seem like there's a wall between us and we drift further and further away because we're dwelling on this. We've lost our focus and we've gotten off the course. The other common thing that happens when change comes is you just increasingly become annoyed with people. All you can see are the negatives. It's like you've taken off the clear glasses and you've put on dark shades. And all you see is the negative. Even when awesome things are going on, things that would have just made your heart rejoice, you're just like, yeah, but this is blah, 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 blah. And all negative. Why? Because your focus is shifted off of God onto this perceived thing that has happened. Now, Joshua is in a position right now where he is at a crossroads. Huge change has happened. Look at verse 1. After the death of Moses. Who's Moses? It's the leader, the guy that was so unbelievable, the guy that had such gifts and abilities that the children of Israel followed without any question. He was just unbelievable. The death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. So here we see Joshua being brought right into this huge change. He's scared. He's overwhelmed. He's sad. He feels probably a little bit like quitting. And yet God steps in such a powerful way and speaks. In verse 9 especially, that we will focus on in our study this morning, he says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now, and this is all by introduction. Honestly, what happens here, if you read through all of the verses, and we'll kind of go through them quickly this morning in the earlier part of this chapter, but God gave some prerequisites for Joshua to receive this promise. Remember, he basically said, "Joshua, be in the Word. Be spending time with me on a daily basis. Be diligent to do what pleases me. Chase after me. Make me your focus." That was the prerequisite. And then he gave this. If you read back in verses 7 and 8, that's what he's saying. And so, really, this morning, we're going to meditate on God's faithfulness. Because what God is doing is he's showing Joshua, "I've been faithful in the past. I'm going to be there for you in the future." And so we're going to meditate on God's faithfulness in the past. And my prayer is that it'll stir us up to continue to serve him with our lives in the future. So let's pray and we'll jump into it. Lord, thank you for our time together. Thank you that you are so faithful. In spite of the fact that we are unfaithful, God, you love us. You've given us everything we need for life and godliness. Thank you for Brookside. Thank you for every person that makes up Brookside. And I pray that you will just drill into our hearts the realization that you are a good God, that you will protect us, you will provide for us, and you will continue to preserve us. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here Joshua is face to face with this major thing going on. And God basically is saying, "Joshua, don't panic. Everything's under control." And he gives him three specific aspects to what he's done in the past. And we're going to look at that. The first one that really jumped out to me was God's provision. He says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God." Here, God is saying, "I am not just some distant God that's on a shelf. I am your God. I am the one true God. I am the all-powerful God, the sovereign one, the same one that split the sea wide open when the Israelites were stuck and trapped and ready to be defeated." Look back to verses 1 through 4. So we've already read verse 1 and 2. He says, "Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory." You remember Joshua's experience 40 years ago? Prior to this, 12 guys went in to spy. Remember, God said, "This is yours. All you got to do is go in and get it." They went in. They looked at it. It was awesome. Joshua and Caleb were pumped, and they had like big old fruit they hauled out, and they were so excited about what God was going to do. And then remember, the 10 guys sort of shook it all up and were so negative and focused on all the wrong stuff. And God said, "Not going to happen." And they were in the wilderness for 40 years. Now Joshua is standing right at that same place again. And God is saying, "Go in. I've got this. I will provide for you." Notice he said, "I am giving to them. I have given to you." Just like I said to Moses. God is saying here, "Joshua, it's not going to be your leadership skill that's going to do this. I'm the one who's got this thing." And way back in the early days, from what I hear, I was only here for like 8 years out of the window of 35 years. And, you know, we've been connected because of missions over the last 20-some years. But I've heard Pastor Joe share this and some of the other families that in the early days, the church was just trying to get their feet on the ground, and they found a piece of land over on Lily in Lisbon, and And Pastor Joe was telling me they had to fill it up with land, with dirt. And he literally would go out and flag down trucks that were driving by with dirt from other job sites. And he'd say, come on over here and dump it here. We need dirt fill and fill dirt. So they would come and they started bringing all the, and they filled up the lot for him. And that was God's provision. It took some initiative, but it was God's provision. And as you think about that and how the church then was built and it saved, they didn't have much money to work with, and they built this thing. And even this building, God provided through so many people working hard. But as I thought about that, I thought about how later, a few years later, and I think it was 94, Pastor Dean Taylor was called to come here. And a few years after him serving, he wanted to sort of develop a little more of the youth program, and he also wanted to develop the music program. So they interviewed Jamie and me, and they the church hired us to come in 1997. All the while, we were on the other side, 850 miles away, finishing graduate school, praying for God to bring me to a place where we could connect with the leaders, and they would be like Paul was to Timothy, to be patient with me, because I had a knowledge of what I needed to do, a head knowledge, but I'd never really done a whole lot of ministry. And so we were so thankful when God melded our hearts and the church gave us the call and we came here 1997. What was so funny is that they hired me as pastor of youth and music. Now, I can sing a song, but I don't have any timing. I have zero timing. I don't know if you saw me up there, but I'm looking at my daughter's lips. And if she's off, I'm off. There is no question. Because if I get my heart gets in it, and I'll come way in early. I mean, the orchestra will be going, I'll belt it, and I'll ruin it. So I have zero timing. So Pastor Taylor set me aside and said, John, here's the list of songs for Sunday, and I want you to just kind of, you know, practice. And I was like, Pastor Taylor, I'm not really, I don't have very good timing. He said, oh, I think you can get it. Just work at it, take it home. I spent hours, my wife is my witness, I spent hours practicing. One, two, three. And see, I have no timing. And so I got up that Sunday morning, and it was the most awkward moment for everyone. They're all just staring at me because I am so petrified. And my timing is off. I couldn't even do cut time. It was way off. And Mrs. McClary is just looking at me and playing along. It was so awkward. And afterwards, they came up and said, you know, John, you can focus on youth, and maybe we can look at discipleship or something. So Dave Ackham stepped back in, and others filled in. But, you know, as God did that, he was also paving the way for Jonathan to come and Sarah later on. And, you know, you think about it, God is the provider. But when things change off of our plan, sometimes we're tempted to handle things in our flesh. We want to manipulate it, or we want to force it, or we want to get angry. And we handle change in a wrong way. And that's why I wanted to focus on this morning. I believe that God has something for us here that I believe will continue to help us to be what God wants us to be as a church. Hudson Taylor said this, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's provision. So I don't know where you are this morning, if you maybe physically you're lacking, you've heard something from the doctor, or you feel something and you know something's not right, and you don't know what to do. Well, I want to tell you this, that God will be your provider. He will. There's no question. It's not if. He will. But you have to let him. He wants to provide for you. And this is not some little health wealth thing. He'll give you what you need to go through what you're going through. He may not heal you. He may not pay off all your bills. He may choose to let you carry a burden that you think is bigger than you, but he'll give you grace to go through it. He is the provider. And I wanted to just focus on the fact that as God works in our lives and as he draws us and gives us direction, many times the direction that we're on seems overwhelming. It's different than what we bargained for. And you feel like stepping in and pulling it back and saying, okay, I need to change course here. But remember, God is the provider. You have to look to him and trust him. And Philippians 4:19 is a great verse that I find so much encouragement from, not just for missions and financial things and that side of it, but for every area of life. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God is all you need. Don't rely on anything else. Don't rely on anyone else. People will let you down. People will do things. Leaders will let you down. And it may hurt you. And you may be overwhelmed. And you may feel like retaliating or taking it in your own hands. And if that happens, what you're doing is you're saying, God, I know you're the provider, but I got this. And you're stiff-arming it. And it will always lead you to trouble. And I as I thought about this, I want to just ask a few questions. Have your decisions and choices that you are in right now put you in a position to let God be the provider in your life? Or would you have to say right now, in this last week, you've come to some things that weren't agreeable to you, and you've grabbed it and said, I know I should pray about this, but I've got to act on it. And you've sort of pushed through. If that happens, you'll always wind up with regret. You'll always wind up muscling it through or trying to do what you can do on your own strength. And it'll lead you to emptiness and just feeling overwhelmed. Now, the second thing I wanted to look at in this is God's protection. And you look at that verse again. God, he says, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And God, the protector, is with us. He's our provider, but he's also our protector. And here God is saying, I'm with you. I'm with everyone, but I am specifically with you. It's very personal. And sometimes the struggle that we're in, he's protecting us, although it seems like he's not. And again, as we go through those times, we've got to remember that God is in control. I remember as a little boy, I was about 7 or 8 in South Carolina, and our church was going to this church called Southside Baptist Church in Greenville. And one night, Pastor Ron Hamilton got up and gave a testimony, and he had a patch on his eye, and he explained that because of cancer, they had to take his eye out. And it had just happened. And so he had this patch on. This was before any of the Patch the Pirate Club or anything. And he sang this song that God gave him called Rejoice in the Lord. And he spoke the words initially and said, God never moves without purpose or plan when trying his servants and molding a man. And as I thought, I look back on that, and that had a huge impact on me. The fact that God is in control, and even though things so many times seem out of control, he is absolutely in control. Back in verses 5 and 6 in Joshua 1, God says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. And as I thought about that, I thought about how God is our protector, and he wants to do all of this. You know, churches go through huge trials and struggles. They're not exempt from them. It's not God's judgment when someone very dear to the church passes away or struggles come. God's in control, and he will never allow anything to happen without purpose. And I love 2 Thessalonians 3:3. It says, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." I found this little picture. Maybe some of you have seen it before. But it's actually, this happened at a March 5 training game. It was a spring training game between the Atlanta Braves and the Pittsburgh Pirates. And here, as you look at this picture, it speaks a thousand words. Here, this little guy has his dad's phone and he's playing a game, clueless about the danger that is about to come. And one of the players accidentally let go of the bat. It flew up into the crowd. Check out the dad's face. So chilled. Just boom. He's there. He took the hit. And the little guy's face would have been demolished. Who knows what would have happened. But here this guy, this dad, protects his son. And the reporter went to the son and was asking him if he's going to be scared to go to baseball games in the future. And the little guy says, "As long as I'm with my dad, I'm okay." Think about it. If you are one of our Heavenly Father's children, as long as you're with Him, He is your protector. There is nothing, nothing that can harm you outside of God's plan. Nothing. And even within His plan, it's going to end beautifully. And so as you're tempted with the changes that happen, maybe you go to the doctor and they give you some bad news, or bad stuff financially happens, or an accident, or strife or conflict and somebody lets you down or is not even acting right, don't take it in your own hands. Run to God. Look to Him. Let God be your protector. We get ourselves in trouble when we start to flex our muscles and say, "Okay, I got to do some protecting here because that's all I got." And we get ourselves in big, big trouble. I love what John Newton said in Amazing Grace, his third verse: "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." Think about it. God is here. He's working in your life. He's working in this church's life. Let God be the protector. He's our provider. And the last one I wanted us to see is that He's our preserver. God's preservation is seen so clearly here. Joshua, God says to Joshua, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And I was looking at verses 7 through 9, and I noticed he says, "Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." You know, the Christian life is a life of faith. It's all about trusting that God knows and He's in control. And as soon as we stop walking in faith, we literally stiff arm His all that He's wanting to give. If Joshua would have taken this in and he would have allowed the fears or the overwhelming sense of loneliness from having Moses as his mentor, or whatever angle you want to look at it, if he would have handled that in his own flesh, taken his eyes off of God, stopped walking in faith, we'd be reading a whole different story. But because Joshua simply trusted God, his mission was to please God. That was his main goal. He wanted God to be happy. He was walking by faith. Okay? It's not complicated. You don't have to belong to 12 different Bible studies to do this. You walk by faith by every day, getting into God's word and saying, "God, I need you. I desperately need you. I'm up against some stuff right now. this person in my life, just I cannot. And maybe that's your spouse. Sometimes relationships get that way. It's so sad how Satan works like this. His goal is to get you so that you're actually fighting with those that are your best help. And it spirals. And what happens is if you don't walk with that tenderness to God, seeking to please God alone, and you hold on to hurt, or things happen and you're not willing to move forward, the longer you hold on to that and operate in that manner, the further you get from God. You lay in bed and you wonder why your sleep is so messed up. You wonder why you're actually going almost through a personality change. Why? It's a process. It comes down to faith. Remember, God the Preserver is with us. And although it may seem like he may have forgotten, he hasn't. He knows exactly what he's doing. And for 35 years, Brookside has gone through the ebb and flow of life. You know, ebb and flow is talking about like the tide of the sea. In Palau, we have an 8-foot tide swing. So one day, you go out at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you got this beautiful, almost perfect thing to look at as you look out on the water. It's just like a lake. Maybe the weather permits it. It doesn't happen often, but once in a while, the ocean is glassy. But the next day or a week later, you come out at 2 o'clock and you look and it's ugly. There's rocks sticking up and there's mud and dirt and it's ugly. What happened? It's the ebb and flow of the ocean. And the same thing happens within our lives. There are times where the tide goes out and struggles come and they're not pleasant. There's difficulties. But God is the preserver. And as we look to him and we let him work, he's the one that is the one that's going to take care of it. We just have to trust him. It's not a list of rules that God was telling Joshua to do. It was a relationship. He wanted Joshua to pursue a deep relationship with him. And I wanted us to think about this briefly. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, God doesn't merely initiate the work and then leave it. He continues with it. He leads us on, directing and manipulating our circumstances, restraining us one at a time, restraining us at one time, and urging us on at another. Paul's whole conception of the church is that it is a place where God is working in the hearts of men and women. And the truth be known about the way God is working, sometimes you won't understand it. And that's why Joshua was told to look to God. He said, look to me. I'm with you. I've got this. And look at this verse as we finish today. Being confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's absolutely certain God has brought Brookside this far. It's absolutely certain. It's not guaranteed what's coming next. Except for this, God has promised we will have success in his eyes if we look to him as our provider, protector, and preserver. And so today, honestly, this is a message for us as a church, but it's also a message for you as an individual, you as a family. This is what God wants to be. And I hope that that's an encouragement to you. And I hope that if you're here this morning and you say, you know, I've gotten my eyes off, I've gotten away from it, I've allowed this to become overwhelming in my life, the key is run right back to him. He's got this. And that's why I love this passage today for our 35th anniversary service. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the way that you give us your word to help us navigate life. And I pray for every person here that you would just continue to draw us to yourself. Help us to trust you. Because really, that's what the Christian life really finds success is, when we look to you and trust you. So we give you praise for it in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Pastor John. I couldn't help but think of a verse is Pastor Giles teaching from 1 Corinthians 10. And it's a very, very familiar verse to everyone here. There's no temptation taking you, but such as what? It's common to man, but that God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. And what's really interesting about that last phrase, that you will be able to endure it, in the original grammar, that is stressing. It's actually a verb in the passive voice, which means, if you're in my class, that means that it's something that you're engaged with, but that God is the one doing the work. And that's the promise. That's the big promise there in that verse. He's not gonna allow you to be tempted beyond that which you're able, because you're able by his grace and his strength. He's the one that strengthens you. He shows you the way of escape so that you can endure the path to that way of escape. He's not guaranteeing you the way of escape is a door right behind you, you can walk out. He's saying that he's going to show you that way. It's going to be the hope. It's going to be the goal, the light at the end of the tunnel, and that you will be able by his strength to endure that way and ultimately come to the escape. God is so good. If we would take the time to immerse ourselves in the truth and allow him to teach us and allow him to change and transform our hearts, it's all there for us, but for the taking.